as we get ready for our scripture reading tonight, we're going to look back on some people in the Bible. And as you can see at the top of the thing, I said, I call it people's messes. So it's kind of one theme that we find throughout the Bible is that we see people in the Bible, how they keep on messing up. And maybe it's there, those stories are there, because it helps us to see our own hurts and our own brokenness and our own need for God, how we also mess up at times. So we have Adam and Eve up here, the first people that mess up. How do they mess up? Anybody remember? Yeah. How do they mess up? Go ahead. Yes, they ate a fruit from a tree, so they're... Yes, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So they can eat from any tree in the garden and except one. And which one do they eat from? The one they're not supposed to, right? And immediately they start blaming each other. Anybody here ever blamed somebody for something they didn't do? Yeah, and it just kind of messes up all their relationships, right? So they have some consequences, but they have this promise that God stays with them. God prepares clothes for them. God helps them. And then that brings us to Cain and Abel. So Cain and Abel are their children. I have a little family tree here. So what happens with Cain and Abel? What's that? Nope. Close. We're almost there. Yeah. Cain is super jealous of his brother Abel, and he kills him. So it's this horrible story of violence in the Bible. And he ends up having a hard life after this. And he's afraid that other people are going to do to him what he did to Abel. So God is gracious to him and marks him with this sign of protection. Maybe I should have called these stories ways that God shows up, like the ways that God shows up in the middle of our mess. So then we, Adam and Eve have a third son, Seth. How many knew there was a third son? And we're going to jump several generations. A descendant of Seth is Abraham. So Abraham and Sarah are given a promise from God. Anybody remember what those promises are? What the promise is? We've been talking about this with the older ages. You just forgot. That's okay. Okay, so he promises that they will have many descendants, all right? So that they are going to be a nation that is blessed to be a blessing to a whole lot of people. How many years do they have to wait? They have no son. How many years do they have to wait for a son to come? What's that? 25 years. So they wait 25 years for the promise to come. Understandably get a little impatient, try to figure it out themselves. So they're like, okay, Abraham, you can use this woman Hagar to get a son through her. So they try to solve it themselves. And they do have a son, Ishmael, but God's like, that's not really what I was thinking. And so God, the promise needs to come through Abraham and Sarah. And so they end up finally, after 25 years of waiting, God's promise comes true, and they have Isaac. So this promise, blessed to be a blessing, passes down to Isaac. Isaac marries Rebecca, and they have twin boys, Esau and Jacob. And that's where we get to the story today. So Esau is the older son. They're twins, but he's the older one. And when they get older, Esau gets married, and Esau's wife makes life bitter for Rebekah and Isaac. So Rebekah comes up with a plan. The plan is that Isaac is now blind, he's old, and he is going to bless Esau, which means that's a whole lot of good stuff for the rest of his life. That's kind of what that means. And so Rebekah comes up with this plan that Jacob will pretend to be Esau and steal this blessing that is his brother's. And that's what happens. So Jacob shows up to Isaac, pretends to be Esau, steals this blessing, which has a lifelong consequence for both their lives. And you'd think it kind of works, right, for Jacob. So how do you think you would feel if you were someone who tricked your dad to get what was rightfully your brother's? How would you feel about that? How do you think you'd feel if you were Jacob? What? Yeah. A tiny bit guilty, but yes. All right. Yeah. What do you think? guilty and selfish. Yeah, so Kent might weigh on you for a while, right? Well, how do you think you'd feel if you were Esau? What's that? Very sad. How about really angry? He is so angry, kind of going back to Cain and Abel, he wants to kill Jacob. So Jacob has to flee for his life and leave everything he knows. And that's where our story begins for tonight. So we are talking about, Jacob's journey. He goes from Beersheba. He has to go all the way to his uncle's house in Haran. And he stops in this place that he ends up calling Bethel. So that's what we're talking about right now. So here's Genesis chapter 28, starting at verse 10. Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. Now, how do you think you would feel if you were Jacob? You've left all your family, everything you know, and you are completely alone, and your life is in danger. Your brother wants to kill you. How would you feel as Jacob? Yeah. What's that? Terrified. Scared. Yeah. Scared. Yeah, totally. So here's what happens in the middle of his fear. He dreamed that there was a ladder that was set on earth, and the top reached all the way to heaven, and the angels were ascending and descending on it, and the Lord stood beside him. So in this moment where he's most scared, worst time in his life, the Lord stands beside him. And the Lord says, I am the Lord, the God of Jacob, your father, and the God of Isaac. And then he gives the same promise to him that was given to his grandfather Abraham. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring will be like the dust of the earth, meaning there will be a whole bunch of you. And then that last part there says, all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Meaning, Jacob, you're not going to live for yourself any longer. You're not going to have a selfish life any longer. You are now blessed by God to be a blessing. You are helped by God to help others. God is with you so that you can be there for others. Then he says, God says, know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back home. That's a promise that Abraham didn't get, that God gives to Jacob. Then Jacob woke from sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. How awesome is this place? He's like, this is none other than the house of God. And so Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took a stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called that place Bethel. It means house of God. So he sets up this sign that's a reminder that at the worst moment in his life, God showed up and was with him. So you can think about over the course of tonight, what are signs or things that remind you that God is with you? Or who are people that remind you that you are not alone? When you're happy, but also when you're really sad. Now, unfortunately, Jacob keeps talking. So he makes a vow. Jacob is a bargainer. He's a trickster. And so he says to God, if God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear so that I may come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Now, God already promised, I am with you. I'm going to bring you back home. And Jacob's like, you're not going to be my God unless you can prove it. All right, that's kind of where Jacob is at this point. And so then we hear that he sets up this stone as a pillar, and it shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give one-tenth to you. The word of the Lord. So what we see in Jacob's story is that once again, just like we saw in all the stories that we named, people mess things up. We try to get our own angle on things, the way that will benefit us. Rebecca comes up with this plan to trick her husband to get the blessing for her younger son, and their plan works. Jacob and his mom get what they want. But then he has to flee for his life, leave everything he knows, and his total future is uncertain. One scholar points out that Rebecca She thinks Jacob is only going to be gone for a few years. What ends up happening is Jacob is gone for 20 years, and he never sees his mom again. Does that sound like their plan worked? Do you think that's what they were hoping for?
No.
Probably not. So in Haran, which is way up to the top, Jacob is with his uncle, who also tricks him. It kind of runs in the family. And then he ends up having some hardship when he has children of his own. But God does bring him back home, as God promised. It just takes 20 years. So 20 years later, Jacob ends up living into the promises of God. And when Jacob returns home, he comes now with family and all his stuff, and he prays a completely different prayer than what he prayed 20 years ago. So remember, he bargained with God. He's like, if you do this for me, God, then this. Jacob's prayer changes. Instead of bargaining with God, he is also still scared, still wanting God's help. But this time he says that God has steadfast love, and this time he trusts that God is with him. As a scholar points out, the change in Jacob is not Jacob's doing. It's God's doing. God changes his heart. And so as it turns out, the one to watch in all these stories are not the people, it's not Jacob, but the one for us to watch is God. Because in the middle of our mess, God keeps showing up with God's steadfast love and faithfulness. This week, I keep thinking of Psalm 46, which is a psalm of trust. And it starts out saying that, like, even if the world's falling apart, God is our refuge, meaning God is our safe place and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. And then it ends with these words, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." That just as God remained with Jacob throughout all his life, so God is our strength and our support too. So we are here tonight, the day after a contentious election, with election results that were announced early this morning. Some of you here are likely thrilled with the results. Some of you here are likely devastated and know that someone you love feels differently than you. We seem to have had a lot of our identity wrapped up into this election, and we've hung a lot of hope on political parties and political candidates. Jacob's story reminds me that we are a part of something bigger than ourselves and our own limited views, that we are a part of something much bigger than the messes that we make as people, that when we feel most alone and most worried and afraid, it's precisely there that God shows up for us. If we think about Jesus on the cross, God's own son who dies on the cross, that's the place where it seems like God is most absent. And yet that's the place where God is most present for us in this world. And Jesus keeps on showing up for us, especially when we most need it. So tonight we have this chance to light a candle for someone we love who's died, who's influenced our lives. Or we might light a candle for someone who's still living, who encourages us in our faith, or somebody who needs our support and our prayer right now. We light these candles to remember each of these people in our lives, not perfect people, maybe people who even made some messes themselves, but people who belong to Jesus and are loved by Jesus anyway. As we think about these people, might we also think about the things we most loved about them, the way that they lived out Jesus' love and kindness and gentleness and peace and patience, and might we live out the same, that we follow Jesus' way rather than our own way. The candles that are lit and are going to be placed in this cross are a reminder. They are a sign for us that just as this cross will hold these candles of the people we love, so too Jesus keeps on holding onto us now and forever. May that be what we place our hope and our trust in, rather than all the candidates or the promises that people make. God promised Jacob, "Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go." And God was true to that promise. Jesus echoes that same promise in our Gospels. when he said, "Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." May we remember that we live in Jesus' presence now and forever. Amen.